Chapter 28. Word spreads quickly. Our entire section buzzes. I have to get out of here. I catch snippets of conversations as I run up the steps to the upper level exit. A lot of people are upset and confused, but my ears pick out certain voices above the murmur of the crowd. Robin Bailey? No way! I thought she was one of the good Indians. That's what you get for taking easy per cap money. I told you they don't know how to handle their money or their alcohol. My God, even the smart ones are dumb. The vultures are already tearing into Robin's dead body. Hot, itchy anger races through my veins. I rub my nose as I sprint to the bathroom. The mixture of odors won't go away. Acrid smoke, rotting flesh, WD-40, chemicals, and sweat. I can smell and taste the coppery tang of blood at the back of my throat. Laboratory chemicals and off gases, urine. Lily's bladder releasing as she fell backward. The body does that when you die. All your muscles fail. I can't take this. I'm smelling everything again. When I reach the last stall, my legs give way as I latch the door. I scurry to the corner and pull my new Supes jersey over my head. Like a turtle. I breathe in until the only thing I can smell is my own sweat and deodorant as I continue rocking back and forth, in shock over another girl gone too soon. The girlfriends gather outside the stall. I hear them whispering. Then Megan tries to crawl underneath the door. I kick a long leg at her. I have no room for their thoughtfulness inside my grief bubble. Donis, the game is over. We gotta go back to the hotel, they take turns saying. One of them must think to get Ron. I hear him tell the girlfriends to go. Their van is waiting. It's okay. He'll wait for me and we'll take a cab back to the hotel instead of the booster bus. After they leave, he just sits there outside the stall. Quiet, except for occasionally telling someone to mind their business when they say something about a man in the women's restroom. Go on, he says. No one's bothering you. All I see is his bottom half, with his knees pulled up to his chest like mine are. His shoes are the same ones he wore the day he brought me to David's classroom. The ones with the squeaky shoe. Someone must have told security, because heavy footsteps approach. Sir, we've received a complaint of a man in the women's restroom. That would be me, Ron says. I'm looking after my nephew's girlfriend. He plays for the Superiors. She got some bad news tonight. I just want to make sure she's okay. Ron's voice is firm. He isn't leaving until I do. I don't want security to escalate things. I'll be out in a minute, I say. My voice is raspy, even though I haven't been crying. Ron's right shoe squeaks as we head outside to wait for the cab he called. Strange as it seems, focusing on his noisy shoe helps me put one foot in front of the other. Ron brings me back to the hotel, and when he sees Jamie waiting for me in international waters, he leaves us there alone. He must have decided to cut Jamie some slack. We sit on a love seat near the fireplace. Jamie puts his arm around me without asking. I lean against him and exhale. Tonight's mood is different. Everyone is subdued. The players must have found out about Robin during the game because they had a really bad third period. Levi sits by himself, staring out the window. I can't imagine what he is thinking. My brother escorted Robin to Shagala her junior year when he was in eighth grade. I debate going over to him but cannot summon the energy to move. Levi rises and faces the room. We played for shit tonight because we aren't reading each other yet, he says. Wait, Robin is nowhere on his mind? Levi continues. We gotta be brothers. We gotta know what the other is thinking before he even says it. We gotta play smarter. The players nod their heads, even the local guys who knew Robin. No one says a word about her. Or the fact that this is yet another drug-related death in our community. No one cares. Jamie holds me closer. He observes my right leg shaking as if every ounce of anger has settled in that one limb. makes eye contact with me. What can I do to help you? We are reading each other. I stand and stretch my legs, trying to reverse everything suddenly tightening up. What? You got an idea for how we can gel as a team? Levi asks. Give us your wisdom, Donnie Defense. I'm bouncing on the balls of my feet as if about to start a race. But when I see all eyes on me, I freeze in place. Jamie's expression is now a silent warning. Think very carefully about what you say next. I'm scared that I'm growing fluent in Jamie. What if wrong was wrong and Jamie is just a better actor than me? A smoother liar. Smooth moves through and through. Every morning now, I pray for Gwe Kawadziwin, to be honest, if only with myself. Robin Bailey just died. Is this how players from the Sioux mourn a former teammate? Glancing around the room, I see that half the people are looking at their feet while the others stare at me like I'm having a meltdown. I glare at Levi. But you go ahead and focus on hockey, because your loss tonight is the real tragedy. I storm off to the farthest corner of international waters. Levi intercepts me. His arms wrap me in a tight hug. He whispers into my ear, "It's okay. It's okay." No, it's not okay. How many more people are going to die before our community does something about it? I choke up. Robin was your friend too, and you're just acting like nothing's happened. We stand there for a few minutes while the room slowly resumes normalcy. Robin's name is peppered into some of the conversation fragments I hear. Levi sighs, then breaks away from our hug. "Hey, everyone," he calls out. "Donis is right. We need to do something." Everyone's looking at Levi. "Robin was one of us." "What are you thinking? Like a fundraiser?" Mike says, joining us. I forgot that Mike escorted Robin to Shagala her senior year. She laughed when people teased her about taking eighth grade boys her last 2 years at Sioux High. "Yeah," Levi says, "that's it." "Hey, everyone," Mike announces. "Levi had a great idea, a charity game." He beams at Levi. "Like us playing a non-league game?" "We can collect donations and do something in Robin's name." Levi gives me a side hug. "We can donate and raise awareness for drug prevention programs." "Hey, Levi, what about Sioux High?" Mike asks. He looks at me. It's the first time since what happened in his bedroom. He smiles just like normal. "Come on, Donnie Defense. We always said we would kick Soup's ass if we had a chance. Now I'm a Soup and I say, let's do this. Soups versus Sioux High Blue Devils. Current and former players. Fundraiser and ass-kicking." The room starts buzzing, heads nodding, excited conversations. It's decided they'll hold the fundraiser game next weekend, the night before Shagala. As I watch my former teammates rally, the tears that felt locked inside me in the bathroom stall release now. A flood of tears. The guys do care. Proud tears. For my brother making something good happen. Maybe even tears of relief that things with Mike can go back to how they used to be. Me as one of the guys. Donnie Defense. Bubble. Suddenly, it's all I want. For things to go back to normal. To the before, when Bubble lived in a bubble. Before the investigation, the chaos of not knowing what's real and what isn't. Firekeeper's daughter is over the lifting the sun gig. Being in the dark is fine by me. Jamie approaches. He hugs me and doesn't let go. "What are you doing?" he says into my ear, low and deep. "This isn't part of the plan." The hotel lobby feels different. People are excited, hopeful. The guys huddle with a cluster of players and girlfriends who have formed an impromptu planning committee. "But this is good, isn't it? My community, doing something positive?" I use the sleeve of my Soup's jersey to wipe the last of my tears from my cheeks. Jamie tugs me over to the side, out of earshot of everyone else, and lowers his voice. "We need to stick with the plan," he insists. Jamie folds his arms across his chest. He shifts uncomfortably before putting his hands on his hips. I step back to eyeball him. His stance changes, becomes unyielding, a cop doing his job. I understand at last. "Hold on. When you say we, you don't mean you and me. You mean the FBI," I say, mouthing the initials while pretending to rub my nose so no one can read my lips. "Jamie, don't you remember what my aunt told us about making some workers stay late to fix the owl t-shirts? They learned about the problem and had ownership in the solution. We have to fix it. The community, not the..." My hand hides my mouth from the room again. "FBI." His jaw clenches as if I've said something unpleasant. "Well, you guys haven't fixed it yet," Jamie points out. "Don't you see how warped it is to think we can't get it done without the..." I don't bother with the initials this time. "Honestly, no," he says, even more quietly than anything he said to this point. "I don't know this person, and he sure as hell doesn't know me either, or my community." Jamie Johnson doesn't see us. "You swoop in, want to save us and then leave," I say. "You won't be here for the fallout. You aren't thinking about the community at all. Don't you get that?" Jamie's face is devoid of any emotion. It's a mask to protect himself from me. The sting in my nose infuriates me. Robin comes to mind. "No guy should have that kind of power over you, no matter who he is." Maybe I need a shield to protect myself from Jamie. Glancing around to see that no one is paying attention to us, I advance. This asshole will see how Donnie defense plays offense. "Maybe you'd understand if you actually had a community." He takes a step back, blinks his tawny eyes. I've drawn blood. It was a deeper cut than I intended. James Brian Johnson, or whoever he truly is, walks away. Instead of feeling victorious, I'm hollow inside. I am on my knees, hunched over, wiping my mouth, when I hear arguing and crying. Lily and Travis walking down the two-track. "Travis, I told you, you gotta get help. This is bigger than you. You need real help." He grabs her arm when they're 10 feet away from me. "Tell me how, Lil. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it." She yanks free. "First off, you gotta leave me alone. No more coming around to snag when Granny's away. I gotta focus on school. You focus on yourself. We gotta stand on our own feet separately. Don't you see? I can't stand on my own if I'm always holding you up." "No, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I love you." "Need and love aren't the same. Your need is ruining the love part. Travis, I'm done. I'm really done." Travis pulls an old revolver from the back of his jeans. I wake up, choking on the smell of Travis's body odor, chemicals and sweat that seemed more pungent than ordinary guy stink. Why haven't I remembered what they said to each other before now? Was Ron right when he said that I had to trust that the answers will be revealed when I'm ready? Will the rest of my memory come back? Or am I creating something out of nothing? My BlackBerry vibrates on the nightstand. "Jamie, I am sorry." I don't know what he's sorry about. For thinking so little about my community? For shutting down when I took issue with the FBI? For revealing a clue about himself having been adopted out from some tribe somewhere? For kissing me in the elevator? Maybe he's sorry for accepting this assignment in the first place. Me. Me too. Maybe I'm sorry for everything too. For agreeing to help the investigation. That sometimes my community disappoints me in ways too complicated to process. But that doesn't mean the FBI is the solution. That it didn't take much for me to lean into Jamie. Or maybe I'm sorry for lashing out at him because I like him more than I should. Seeing his cop mask slide into place was a reminder that he will leave after his job is done. Getting left behind doesn't get any easier the more it happens. Jamie. What's your room number? Me. 740. I listen in the darkness for the stairwell door next to my room to open and close with the cautious movements of someone sneaking where he shouldn't be. My heart races when I open my hotel room door and he enters. Jamie, in sweatpants and a t-shirt, with his hair going in every direction. I close the door behind him. We face each other. Time slows the way it does on the ice, everything pausing for one long, clarifying breath. I kiss Jamie tenderly, like we had in the elevator. Only I don't stop. The thoughts that went through my mind as we texted moments ago are still swirling around us. But in this moment, I don't want to spend time with my concerns. Just for tonight, I want to be part of something that feels good. In the now of this newer, new normal, that means being with Jamie. I inhale his scent, the soap that reminds me of a far-off sunny place. He tastes faintly of mint. My fingers weave through his soft curls, which feel better than I imagined. He kisses me back, slowly, as if he wants to savor every moment of this. His arms are wrapped around me, lean, strong muscles. Our lips part and my tongue finds his. We remain in this embrace as soothing as gentle waves upon the shore, for hours, it seems. When Jamie steps back, I reach for him, not wanting this to end. I feel his low chuckle from his body pressed against mine. "We shouldn't, Donis," he whispers. "Not until we're on the other side of this. We have no idea what's coming. Let's wait for someday." "It's already Sunday," I say, pretending to mishear. We laugh together, louder than we should. Jamie carefully opens the door and steps into the hallway, gives me a long look that nearly has me chasing after him. I watch him enter the stairwell and close the door behind him. As I stand there alone in the hallway, the final click of the door breaks through my happy bubble. What have I done? I kiss the guy who is investigating my community, the guy I have very real feelings for. This entire situation got more complicated tonight, and I'm still not sure how I feel about how Jamie is approaching the investigation. The door next to mine opens. Call me Grant pokes his head into the hallway like a turtle. He has a sleepy twinkle in his eyes as he raises an eyebrow at me. He holds up a finger to his lips. "Shh, your secret is safe with me, Donis Fontaine." Shit times infinity. This just reached chi complication level.